Also, I didn't. I heard this. I didn't give a proper introduction to our other guest. What was your name again? Kristen. That's another thing. Okay, if you get to know me, I forget names real fast. But she is your roommate, Tammy. Your roommate's daughter. Daughter from roommate from college, right? And you're from Alaska. Is that right? All right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I had some classmates here from Alaska recently. Yeah. So glad you can join us and get some normal temperatures here in Hawaii. You know, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture we're going to be talking about today. It's something that many of us are familiar with. We know this encounter with Jesus, and yet it's a much more difficult passage of Scripture than many of us realize. It's easy to look at one person's the thing that Jesus talked about with one person. It's easy to see how certain of these questions that these guys bring up who encounter Jesus, it's easy to see how we can be like that as well. And so there are three guys that Jesus will meet, and I'll just like to preface the sermon by saying this. You know, when I first came to Christ, I had so much damage and destruction in my life and been led down the wrong path, or other paths that led to dead ends, or I knew what that end was going to be, and it would be destruction. And I was just... I had seen this, and I had seen enough of life. I've not seen all of life, but I'd seen enough of life to know that when Jesus Christ, my friend, shared Jesus Christ with me, that this was something that really significantly changed my life. I accepted Jesus. I was an atheist, those of you who didn't know, when someone came up to me and said, I'd like to share Jesus Christ with you. And I said, okay, if I'm going to be a good atheist, I need to find out what Jesus Christ is. The Bible has to say about Jesus Christ. And so I turned from being a good atheist into a born-again believer. That moment, he shared the gospel with me. I crossed that bridge, and I was so full of zeal and excitement that I wanted just to do anything for Jesus. And it was quite irritating to Amy, who knew me as the old guy. And but I was kind of like one of these guys here. And one of the things that was concerning to me was, Stan, how long is this going to last? Is this going to be like some of those other things that you're going to be enthusiastic about and just kind of flame out, or is this going to last? I'd like to talk about what it really means. What are the core, deep things we want to find out about this encounter with Jesus Christ? And the message is called gung-ho or going home. Okay, so those of you who don't know what gung-ho means, it means like all out, on fire, and let's go for it kind of attitude. Or going home is kind of like, I can do that later. Let me take care of this other thing first. And so I want to just talk about quickly what these encounters are. And as I've led people to the Lord, the people I've led to the Lord have had different responses. I've known people who have just been all out. They couldn't get enough of the word. And they kind of turned everything and kind of turned everything on the world and just went all out for Jesus. But 2 years later, they're not there. And something happened. They flamed out. And I have other people who have just got so much into the world that when they came to Christ, they never got really into Jesus. And so the world just kind of encroached into their life. 2 years later, they're not there following Jesus either. So the question here is, which response is a good response? How do we find a good response? And I'm going to suggest, as we're reading here, that none of these guys really had a real good response to Jesus, but there is a good response, an appropriate one, which I'd like to talk about. By way of background, the context of this verse is the Jesus and his and Peter, James, and John have just come back from the Mount of Transfiguration, where they went up a mountain. Jesus was transfigured before them. He's fully God and fully human, but his human nature was kind of pulled back the veil, if you will, to see the glory that was really the deity side of Jesus. And so they're coming, and that happened during one night, and the next day they were coming down, and Jesus heals a son of a man who was an epileptic spirit. And then they got involved in this pride, and the disciples were stumbling along in their pride and wanted to call down fire from heaven and destroy those enemies, and they're saying all kinds of weird things, and Jesus was combating their pride, and so much pride in their life. The disciples had so much pride, they couldn't even hear what Jesus was saying. So, and Jesus, in the midst of this, the Bible says, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now, when he resolutely set out for Jerusalem, how many of you know why he went to Jerusalem? Anybody know why he went to Jerusalem? In one of the stories, by the way, Jesus said, when all the crowd was swelling up and they all wanted to cheer on Jesus, talking about him, right? He said, by the way, they're going to betray me and kill me. And none of the disciples got it. Okay, so now that was a hint. Now he's resolutely setting out for Jerusalem. Why did he go to Jerusalem? To die. He went there to die. That's the context of this verse. And while heading toward Jerusalem to die, he meets these guys. Let's meet the first guy here. Here's the question. It's in your bulletin. How do people respond to Christ's call to follow him? The first response is gung-ho, all out, great guns. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 58. Let's see what that says. Let's read that together. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds of the have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We can obviously see that this disciple really didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah, it's one thing to not have a place to lay his head, but there was even more. Remember, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die. And this man said, I will follow you anywhere you want to go. So he was gung-ho. He was all out. He was eager, but he was ignorant. And the Bible says, it is not good to have zeal at passion, without knowledge. We also have to have that knowledge. And that's why we need to build into people who come to Christ a knowledge. We need to disciple them and explain to them how to follow Jesus Christ so that when the time comes to face the cross, to put our life on the line, they will be ready for that. God calls us to that, to be ready to put our life on the line. But at this point, does this man know this? That by saying, wherever you go, Lord, I'm going to go? Probably not. William MacDonald says, this man was self-confident, unduly eager, and unmindful of the cost. He didn't know the meaning of what he said. So the first application here is, don't make big promises. Don't make big promises. Follow Jesus, but don't make big promises. The second response to Christ's call to follow him is, go home. Actually, the next two guys had the same response. Can I go home? So let's read this one, Luke chapter 9, verses 59 to 62. Okay, let's read that together. Ready, go. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still, okay, let's stop right there real quick. I'm sorry, give you the full verse there, but that was, let's just stop there. So this man said, first, let me go and bury my father. There are a couple of problems with this response. First of all, if his father had already died, had his father already died? Or was his father about to die? Or was his father not even ready to die, but the man was just waiting for the inheritance? Because if you wait for the inheritance to come, and now you can go do your thing and be a disciple, and you have this kind of your plan going on, right? Probably the first two are unlikely. The man's father had already died. If that was the case, he probably wouldn't be traveling along with Jesus, following along with Jesus. Or his father was dying. It was likely, we don't really know, the Bible doesn't say, that this man was simply waiting for the time when his father would die, and then he can kind of have the space, the leisure, the ability to follow Jesus. In other words, he was saying, wait, Jesus, let me kind of be comfortable first. Let me take care of what I need to first, and then let me follow you. And there was another one who, the third man, is rather similar. So let's go ahead and read that one. Luke chapter 9, verses 61 to 62. Ready? From 61. Ready? Go. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. If you can keep that slide up there, you find that the second man and this third man said, yeah, I'll follow, but first. Both of them said, but first. I'll follow you, Jesus, but first, let me do this. So we have this conflicting value now. And this is the hard part, isn't it? Because saying goodbye to your family isn't something bad. Burying your father isn't something bad if you're responsible for that. If, you know, in the corporate world today, we have Family and Medical Leave Act, and you have bereavement leave, where if your family member dies, you can drop everything, even your work, and take care of your family member who dies. Jesus is saying here, there's something even more important than that. For most of us, the death of a family member is the most important thing. Jesus is saying there's something even more important than that, and that is to be my disciple. Now, here's the hard part. If we cannot take any one of these and say, well, I need to do this. If my family member were to be dying, therefore, I need to drop everything, or I need to ignore them. We can't say either one of those. I need to drop everything and take care of them. Nor can I say, I'm going to ignore them, and I'm going to follow Jesus, whatever that means, do Bible study, and you know, go out in there in the street, do street preaching. I can't say either one of those is the right way. What I'm going to say is that the right way here is not to take any one of these and just kind of do what we want. The thing that I think is missing in all of these three guys is a sense of submission to Jesus. Submission to Jesus. And I'd like to call that the option number three. Grow obedient. Number three in your bulletin. Grow obedient. In other words, grow in your obedience. Drawing close to Jesus. Knowing His love. Knowing Him above all. And by putting Him first, you will know whether or not you should be out there and preaching on the street or you should be taking care of your loved one. You will know because He will guide you. The problem here was not the options that the men had here, the three men had. The problem is them not saying, Jesus, I want to be your disciple. Show me what to do. show me what to do. Whatever you say, I will do. That is the problem. Now, we're not actually told in this any of these encounters what happened to any of them, how they responded. We're not told. And it probably isn't that important to us. What's important to us is, are we a disciple? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, God may say, you know, your loved one is dying, passing away, but I want you to keep your focus on your task. Stay at the task. Or God may say, I want you to stop what you're doing, and I want you to take care of your loved one. But you're doing any of those under the discipleship of Jesus. And you're saying, Lord, I'm wrestling with this question. I recently asked a number of people a question if they would be able to participate in a particular thing that I asked them to do. And those of you who I got my question know who you are. And there were some who answered according to their schedule. And there were some, there was one person in particular who said, and I prayed about this, and I don't think it's what God wants me to do. I would rather have a person pray about it and say no than somebody who says yes but didn't pray about it. Why? Because it shows that person is a disciple of Jesus first. That is our goal. And I think that is really this thing here that we're talking about, that none of these men really said, Lord, okay, we all have our agendas. We all have it. None of them stopped and said, but Lord, what do you want me to do? And I think that is the thing here that really is the core of this message here. Whether God sends us to the mission field, whether he sends us across the street, that's the question that we want to answer for. Who is Jesus to us? Are we just gung-ho? Do we just go home? Do we want to go home? Or do we want to grow obediently? Let's pray. Our Father, as we look at these men, our hearts resonate with them, because these are the kind of questions we struggle with. We get so excited about things and we're ready to go and we forget to pray. Or we know a direction that you want us to go, but we have another priority tugging at us, and we oftentimes say no without even praying. Father, forgive us. I pray, Lord, that as you bring us close to you, that you would show us, not because we're gung-ho, not because our priority says we're going to go home, but that we're going to grow obediently in response to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.